You're listening to a podcast from Grace Church in Salado, Texas. For more information and resources just like this, visit us online at gracesalado.com.
Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is also a personal favorite of mine in this book of songs. This is our last Sunday that we're doing Songs for Life. We are looking at different psalms over the last month, and this is our last Sunday we're doing it, and then we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about the importance of community, the call to do community together, community groups, and then on October 1st, we're going to be launching, presenting to you our community groups that we're having throughout the week, throughout the area, Belton, Killeen, Salado area, and we'll teach and lead up to that. That will be an amazing shift and opportunity for our church as we move forward. But this is our last week to do this, and I wanted to pick one of my favorite. This psalm is all about promises. It's all about promises. I want you to think with me about promises. Think about that feeling you have when somebody of worth, somebody of prominence, somebody of wealth makes a promise to you. They are offering to you something that you do not have. For example, somebody that has a cabin in the mountains calls you up and says, "Hey, Jason," or whatever your name is. They call you by your name. They say to you, "Jason, we have a cabin and we want you to use it. We want you to come up here. We want you to bring your family. We want you to take advantage of what is mine, and I want to let you have access to it whenever you can." Or think about like what happened this week. I was texted by a friend of mine who has season tickets at Kyle Field and was offering me 4 tickets to the A&M game. And he says, "Jason, on Saturday, 11 o'clock, Aggies play, I'm offering you my tickets. They're yours. We can't take them. We're not going to use them. We would love for you to have them." He is offering me something I do not have and something I would desperately love to enjoy. Same thing with a cabin. When we think about the vows that my wife made to me, she stood across from me and she promised me her life. I currently did not have her as my wife. I currently did not have her as mine. I wasn't one with her. And she was promising, she was coveting me with me certain things. For better or for worse, all that I have is yours. Think about those big promises. Of course, that one's bigger than the Aggie game, trust me. Should be. This chapter, we see these amazing promises from God. Listen to them. I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to tell you these promises, and then we're going to look at some stuff. In this chapter, starting actually all the way up with verse 1, but really, if we just look at verses 7 through 11, listen to these promises. "I, God, will counsel you." You don't have counsel, you need counsel. I will provide counsel for you. "I will always guide you." My guidance isn't temporary. I will always guide you. When you need it, I will be there, guiding, leading, directing you. "My presence will calm you." These are promises. "I will not abandon you to deep darkness of depression." I will be there with you. I'll be entrenched with you. I will not ever abandon you. "I will not let you see decay or to corrode into nothingness." You will have meaning in your life. I promise you. "I will reveal to you a path that leads to life." It'll be a good path. You'll know that it's the right path. "I'll give you abundant life." No ordinary life. A meaningful life. "And I will give you ultimate pleasure for all time." For all of eternity. "There will be nothing temporary with me except your struggle." That's my promise to you. We see that in this chapter. I love it. What we also see and what we need to understand about and the important things about hearing and receiving promises, in order to claim them, there are things we have to do to claim them. We have to, in order for me to claim and apply the promises my wife made to me, I have some things I need to do. I need to sacrifice, make commitments that there will be no other woman in my life but you. There will be no other. I will also promise back to you my life. In order for me to accept the cabin invitation in the woods, I have to look at my calendar. I have to make some sacrifices on this weekend. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to go to the cabin. I'm going to have to learn how to get there. What's the way to the cabin? How am I supposed to get there? Enjoy the cabin. What will it cost me to get there? He's only promising me the cabin. I need to figure out how to get to the cabin. See, it's not just I don't wake up one day and then poof, I'm at the cabin. To accept the four tickets at the A&M game, I would have had to make a decision to not watch my son play football yesterday. Okay, so I would have had to sacrifice watching Toledo, eighth grade football team, to go watch another junior high. No, I mean the Aggies play over there. I would have to make that decision. I couldn't go to my son's game and then still accept the tickets and then poof, wind up at Kyle Field. There are things we have to do in order to claim the promises of God. We see that invitation in this chapter. In order to claim these promises, I want us to think about certain things. First of all, first thing I want you to think about as you claim these promises of God, check your path, the path that you are on. Check what path you are. There are many paths that lead to different destinations. I'll give you some examples. There's the path of the worldly wise guy, okay? This is the path. This is someone who lacks spiritual discernment but is wise in the world. This path helps you really experience the culture. It may help you not be a prude. It may help you get by in life quicker than other people. This is the street smarts path. Cutting corners in business, cutting corners in relationships, cutting corners in your relationship with God. This is the worldly wise guy. This is the way to succeed in the world, be known in the world, be recognized as famous in the world. People on this path will allow you to remain on it because deep down, others need you on that path. They're soaking from you. They're taking stuff from you. And then once you stop really being famous, they have nothing to do with you. Leaving you, if you're on the path of the worldly wise guy, leaving you alone, leaving you no longer famous, leaving you wanting more of the world. There's also the path of revenge. The path or the pursuit of justice at all cost. Those on this path most always appear noble and heroic. These are the movies we want to go see, guys, right? We want to go see the Rambo-type movies. It's justified. Look at all the people it's killing just to go do that. This path of revenge, somewhere deep down, actions of others have put you on this path where you think the only way to peace, the only way to get satisfaction, the only way to get real happiness and pleasure is to take down those who have scarred you. This is a common path we find ourselves on. It's rarely a path that ever brings peace. This is not a path that brings life. There's the path of apathy. This is a comfortable path for most of the time. It's a dangerous path because it really only feeds yourself. You lack zeal. Okay, don't worry about it. You lack ambition. Don't worry about it. It's all cool. Just stay on the path. Easy going. You pretend to not care about other things or other people. And the reality is that's just pretending. You deep down do care. You just don't know how to care, or you don't know how to work through it. And so you just stay on this path of, it'll all work out, it's all fine, I don't really care. This path, people on this path wound others that are wanting them to do something with their life, that are wanting them to help, that are wanting them to pitch in, but this path of apathy, they stay on to avoid wounding themselves. They feel safe. There's the path of safety and security. I will not take risk. I will not do anything. I will not seek adventure. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be prudent. I'm going to be cautious with my life. And at all costs, I'm avoiding any kind of thing that's going to cost me something. I'm not going to give to this. I'm not going to risk that. I'm going to just be safe. Just keep swimming. I'm just not going to get off the path. It's too risky. It'll cost me too much. I'm not going to drive all the way to the cabin. Are you kidding me? It's a long way. I'm just going to stay right here. The path of safety and security. There's the path of wild living. There's the path of control. Somebody who really wants to possess and control and lead others, there's that path. There's the path of amusement. Always seeking the thrill. Now, every one of these paths that we mention, they come with it some sort of addiction. Some sort of bent, because we were made to seek pleasure. We were made in pursuing peace and pleasure. And so you see with these things, as we look at all these paths and revisit them just again, the path of the worldly wise guy, what's their addiction? Praise, acclaim, fame. As long as people are singing my name, as long as they see me as wise in the world. The path of revenge and justice, there could be addiction of depression, could be addiction of vengeance and violence, no matter what the means are, as long as it accomplishes what I want it to accomplish. The path of apathy also obviously leads to all sorts of addictions of alcohol and drugs, the addiction to entertainment that doesn't satisfy. The path of safety and security, we see the tendency to be greedy and to be selfish and to hoard things. And we see this lead to all other addictions. What path do you have the tendency to get on? Check your path by looking at your habits, looking at your attitude, looking at your input, what's going into your mind, what you're thinking on, and looking at your free time. So, evaluate that real quickly, just as we're moving through this time together. What are your habits? What are your go-to habits? When you get in the car, what's the first thing you do, of course, after you buckle up, check everything? What is the first thing you do? What radio station to go to? What do you put on in your mind? When you get home from your day, what's the first thing you do? When you wake up, what's the first? What are your habits that you have going on in your life? That's going to show you the path you're going down. What's your input? What do you habitually or continually listen to, think on, watch? It's going to reveal what path you're on. What does your free time look like? You know what I mean by free time. The free time where it's your time, nobody else, everybody's leaving you alone, there's no responsibilities. You get to do what you want to do. What are you doing? It's probably going to reveal what path you're pursuing. Friends, we need to check our path. If we want to claim these promises, we need to see, are we heading on the right path to the cabin? Are we heading on making the right decisions to get to College Station? Am I on the right path, making the right decisions to be able to say to my wife, yes, I will. Yes, I do. In this context, and what we see here in the passage, there is a path available to us. There is a path that we can experience. And one thing that we tend to forget is that we think it's a secret. We think it's hard to find. And this is the second thing. First is check your path. Second thing, believe that true life is not a secret. Look with me in verse 11. We're going to camp out in this verse, this last verse. You reveal the path of life to me. It is a lie for us to think we don't know how to get to true life. It is being revealed to us. Jesus said, we see it in John 10, the thief comes, and he comes to do what? He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. That's a path. Wake up in the morning, there's that plan for your life. Good morning, family. There's a plan for your life today, for everything you hope to be stolen, everything you wish for to be killed, and for any plans you have to be destroyed. There's a lot of paths that take you to that destination. Jesus goes on to say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have abundant life. All throughout scriptures, it is clear that the way to life, there is a path all throughout scriptures that's revealed for us. And it says, this is the way, walk in it. It's not a secret. All throughout scriptures, we see it. We need to check our paths. We need to remember that the path to life is not hidden. It's not a secret anymore. We'll get to that in a minute. Third thing we need to evaluate is and check when we want to claim these promises, who is it that we're choosing to be with? Who do we hang with? It's been said many times, if you want to know what your future looks like, look at the people around you. That's who you're becoming. Is that good or bad news for you today? If you want to know what your future looks like, look at the people you're choosing to spend time with. Are they people with deep-seated peace and hope? Are they driven by some sort of ambition that seems good and right and that's giving them life? Then you probably are on the path to life. You might say, actually, I don't really desire anyone's presence. In fact, I would rather it just be me and my podcast or me and my social media. Just block everything else out. Let me just stare at this little thing here on the computer or on the screen, TV screen. Let me isolate myself from everything else and let me just sort of be there. It's not people I crave. In reality, that's not true. You're craving people, all right. You're just craving people you can't really relate to. For years, I hung out with people. I hung out with Norm, Sam, Diane, Woody, Dr. Crane. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Cheers, the sitcom. My generation was a sitcom generation. We grew up in the 80s hanging with people all the time, people that were letting into our home, influencing us, and I felt like I was part of the group. Most recently, I mean, here's the people I hung out with. I hung out with all those people from Cheers around the bar. I hung out with the Huxtables even. Not so bad. Huxtables are good folks. I hung out with, most recently, a lot with Jerry, George, Lane, Kramer, Manhattan, New York. I was addicted to the show. Here's where it took me. Here's the path I was on. Here's what I received by hanging with these people. I would laugh often. It was funny. But realistically, I became number two in the state of Texas in trivia for Seinfeld. I was number four in the country on this certain app that did this with trivia. I was number four in the country with trivia with Seinfeld. I was number seven in the world. Yay, Pastor. Proud of you. These are the people, even though I was not literally with them, this is a fictitious group of people that I would continually hang with because on my path to recovery from my day, I went to the apartment in Seinfeld, or I went to the bar in Boston with Cheers. So that's just an example. We tend to hang with people that are influencing us even if we don't know them. Who do you hang with? Who do you laugh with? Who do you laugh at? Who do you feel with? It influences us. Listen to this statement, and I want you to ask if you could, or if you would, believe this in verse 11. You, God's prayer to the Father, it says, you reveal the path of life to me in your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever, eternal, not just 30 minutes long. Not just for a moment as I'm looking at a snap. I mean, no, these, with you are pleasures forever and ever and ever. That's a good path to be on. We see the right hand of God. To be at the right hand of God, there is for us pleasures forever. Sitcoms usually last about 7 years, 30 minutes a pop. Snaps last how long? How long? Instagram memories last how long? I mean, who are you hanging with? I cannot tell you that I have any dialogue with anybody that I hung with really in high school. Sometimes on Facebook we'll catch up, but it's all temporary. But at the right hand of the Father are pleasures forevermore. There is a path that leads to that sort of security. So we check ourselves, check our path, remember that the path's not hard to find, and we evaluate who we hang with. So some final truths that help us understand this passage. We're going to walk it up, okay? We're going to start with the truth that God is not boring. See, oftentimes we settle for these lesser pleasures, settle for these other paths because we just have this idea of God and being with Him in heaven, like we're going to get these wings and this weird thing in our head and we're issued this harp. Where do we get that? It's not biblical. No, there's coming a day when we realize, when we step into eternity, that we were made for this. And it will be abundant life. Amazing. God's not boring. We see that there will be abundant joy, right hand pleasures forevermore. Keep going up. We see that unlike all the other paths, those on this path with God, we will see that God will never leave you. Verse 10, for you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. The path of life, the path to life, leads to physical, mental, and emotional peace. Look with me in verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices, and my body also rests securely. When you go to bed at night, can you rest securely? If you're having trouble resting securely, evaluate the path you've been on that day. Can you rest securely? Verse 8, we see that this path, we see we will have guidance. I will let the Lord guide me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. This is when we are giving God the room. We're giving God the space. We're giving Him the opportunity to constantly guide us. Walking with Him means we're never needing to be paralyzed or having to be paralyzed by indecision. We're walking with God. It's like we're walking around. Have you ever been hiking or on the path and you've actually wondered, am I going the right way here? The path that leads to life, there's always God saying, this is it, this is it. Keep going, keep going. You know what you're doing. Keep going. Don't give up. The path that leads away from God, you never know that. You just drift away, not really knowing where you're going. Continue to walk it up. We see in verse 7. I will bless the Lord who counsels me, even at night when my thoughts trouble me. This is the promised claim that we will praise Him and He will counsel us. I love it. Imagine a relationship with God like this. Forever you getting counsel for anything and everything. And forever Him getting the praise from your life. It's not just the praise team doing it. You're doing it on Tuesday. You're going to bed praising God because of His counsel in your life. So here again, these great promises, like the person offering the cabin to you, God says to you, I will counsel you. I will always guide you. My presence will calm you. I will not abandon you to deep darkness. I will not let you see decay or a life of meaninglessness. I will reveal to you the path that leads to life, and in my presence, our pleasures, always. That's the promise for us. All of these commitments from God to you. Right there. That's the invitation. But here's the deal. You have to want it. You've got to pursue it. You've got to seek it. I would have loved to watch the A&M game, but deep down, one desire dominated the other desire, the desire to see my son play. I chose that. God makes known the path that leads to true life. He reveals the path. Today, I want you to ask him quite simply, God, what path am I on? Am I on the right path? He'll guide you. He'll counsel you. If you're not on the right path, what you need to do, even right now as I speak, just within yourself, right where you are, just say, God, I want to be on that path, claim all those promises. I want to give up everything I can to claim that. And there is the difference. To claim these promises requires sacrifice. You've got to say no to the other paths, to be on this path, to get these promises from God. If you're like me, you look at this and hear this invitation, say, well, yeah, Jason, that's great. That's what I want. I would love that. But I know me. I don't know how to get there. I'm not a pastor. Really, Seinfeld, that's your biggest problem? No, it's not and has not been my biggest problem. It's one of many. So what's the key? How do I get there? I want that path, but I don't really know how to stay on the path. What do I do? Here's the thing about this chapter that I held until this moment. Like I said several weeks ago, there are certain psalms that are considered messianic psalms, meaning that they are psalms pointing to, showing, revealing that this is Jesus. This is your Savior. This is the one. This psalm is about Him. Yes, we receive. Yes, we're helped. But this psalm is from Jesus. We see in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching and he quotes this psalm. And he says, David was inspired to write these words about the Son of God. This psalm is Jesus' psalm in prayer to the Father. It is about Jesus. So here's the thing. When we say, I don't know how to have peace at night, I'm troubled, I don't know if I'm on the right path, Jesus says, follow me. I'll give you rest. When we say at night, when we're wanting all these promises, don't know how to get there, when we say, on this path that we're on, I'm shaken. I need guidance. I need counsel. I need to change. Jesus says, follow me. I'll change everything. When we feel insecure, unsafe, sad, broken, Jesus says, follow me to this path and I will lead you to rest securely. Just keep following me. Don't stop. I will show you how. I'm your example. I'm your model. When we say, I'm horrified and tired of these addictions, I don't know how to break them, I don't know how to change, Jesus says, follow me. Everyone else may let go of you. I will never let go of you. Ever. I won't abandon you. I won't forsake you. I'll put your feet on a new path that gives you life. And when you say, when we say that we don't like the company that we've kept, we don't like those temporary moments of thrill that don't really satisfy, Jesus says, follow me to my Father. At the right hand of Father, that's where I am. At the right hand of Father, that's where all the pleasure, all the joy that you could ever want. So you're tired of those other paths? Follow me. You need a new path. Jesus has made a way. See, Jesus did not consider heaven something to hold on to forever. In Philippians, we read that Jesus forsook heaven to come here. He sacrificed the game up there to come to you, to live this life, to live these things out, to walk on the path so he could say to us, I'm here. Follow me. Come here. We're going here. Up here is where the eternal heaven is. This is where all the pleasure is. Just follow me. Die to those other things. I will lead you there. He's the hero. He's the promise keeper. He's our counselor. He's our guidance. And so he says to us today, will you follow me? Will you run with me to the mighty fortress that is my Father, God in heaven, who provides for you everything you need? In the book of Psalms, we have songs for life. They're not to be boring. They're for your good, for your equipping, and for you to see that you're on the path following Jesus to the mighty fortress of God so that we can feel deeply the joy of eternal happiness with him. In this life, we struggle to have hope. He has overcome the world. Let's pray. As you think and as you just take a few minutes to be still, praise team's going to sing in a minute a song that we just sang. Maybe it was your first time to really hear it. But one way to respond, if you're saying, I want that path, I want to follow Jesus that way, is to say yes, yes, yes to everything that we're about to sing. And you probably need to talk to somebody today. Say, I want to follow Jesus. I want that. I will be at the end of the service lingering up here. You can come talk to me. You can get hold of one of the elders or somebody you think knows what they're doing and just ask them. I want to learn how to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to that. And we'll help you with that. Maybe you already know this Christ, and as Daniel said earlier, you just keep jumping off the path. It feels like, well, here's the promise again. He has never let go of you. So no matter where you are, wherever you think your path is, no matter who you've been hanging out with, Jesus says to you, follow me. A mighty fortress is my God. Keep going. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are good to have sent your Son to die for me, for all the sins, for all my desires and temptations to run down paths that only lead to my destruction. You have sent a rescuer in your Son, Jesus. I pray for everybody here, Lord, that we would collectively all say, yes, Jesus is our way. I pray for anybody struggling, anybody addicted, Lord, to anything, that they would today run to the mighty fortress of God.